Extend my welcome also to all who worship with us this morning. We're missing a number. You may or may not know that Jim Wright is preaching up in the North Country at the nursing home where he works, and also at another church up there this morning. This is the reason that he's not with us. The Garrows are on their way, well on their way by now, north for several days, I guess close to a couple of weeks of vacation time up in New York State, where some of Steve's family still reside. We need to be praying also for both them as they travel, as well as those who will be traveling to the conference later this week. I invite your attention to the Word of God as we find it in Colossians chapter 3. And I'm reading from verses 12 through 17 of Colossians chapter 3. I've heard an excellent series of messages, devotional messages, at our meeting of Synod just the week before this past week, based on Colossians. Didn't get to hear the fourth message because it didn't get delivered. We finished Synod early, a miracle of miracles, Thursday night, and so the guy who was supposed to preach Friday morning didn't get to preach because we weren't meeting. So I heard three excellent messages on the first three chapters of Colossians. And sometime down the road, I would like to get into maybe a series in Colossians 2, as the Lord permits, as the opportunity permits. For now, though, Colossians chapter 3, I'm reading beginning with verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And also reading just a couple of verses from Ephesians chapter 4. Be completely humble, verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then you have there at the top of your bulletin, the order of service, you have a verse there from 1 Thessalonians, which is really a theme for the message today as well. That verse you have there at the top of your bulletin. And perhaps we can just read that in unison. You can find that there in your bulletin. Let's read that verse in unison. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Okay, I want that understood as I begin this message this morning, that what I have to say from the pulpit, remember that pointing a finger? Three of them pointed back at me. Okay, I'm included in what I have to say this morning, most certainly. And most certainly, there is a lot of encouraging, and we've experienced much of that this past week as well, in ministering to members of our family, our church family, and have opportunity now in the coming weeks as well to minister to Becky Bush and to her family. Lots of encouraging, mutual encouraging going on. So just as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, do this, encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. I say the same to all of us this morning. Just as, in fact, we are already doing, but let's do it even more so. Let's even be more focused on encouraging and building up one another in the faith. I also preached this message this morning because I want to kind of build on what Joe brought to us last week. His message was from the Old Testament, from the book of Nehemiah. The idea of building up and strengthening our walls. He's talking about our inner walls. Our inner relationship with the Lord and with one another. Not from the Old Testament, the book of Nehemiah. This morning I want to preach from this New Testament passage, which encourages us, these passages, I should say, that encourage us to build up one another. to build up one another and to encourage one another in the faith and in our ministries. You know that in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, there's an expression, an exhortation that says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But then in Colossians 3, verse 12, as we read it there, we're encouraged to bear with one another in love. They sound very similar, but they're, of course, quite different in their meaning and in their application. Galatians, Paul was talking about helping another Christian to carry his or her burden of sin. In other words, we're commanded to do all that we can to help a fellow Christian who has fallen into sin out of Satan's entrapment. But here in the text this morning, the words bear with means something totally different. It means to be tolerant towards one another. It means to be patient with the faults and weaknesses of one another. It means to have a forgiving spirit towards others who may have hurt you or sinned against you in any way, or perhaps you have offended someone on the other side of the coin. So, is there anyone, I want to ask this question to begin with this morning, is there anyone in your family circle, in your circle of friends, within our church family, within your work family, your school family, your neighborhood, whatever family we might be thinking of, is there anyone whom you find hard to love? Is there anyone with whom you cannot seem to agree on perhaps a number of issues, including maybe some major issues? This message is for any of us who have a problem in this area, and therefore it applies, I'm sure, to all of us who find it difficult, very difficult at times, to be patient and forgiving of others. This Colossian passage makes our responsibility very clear. We're faced with a challenging question. How can I help whoever that may be? Let's consider then what Paul means in practical terms when he exhorts us to bear with one another in love, and in so doing, to build up one another and to encourage one another in the faith. Here in Colossians 3, 12 and 13, let me read those verses again. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Here, bearing with one another means, as we've already said, being patient with one another's weaknesses and faults. Of course, we have to admit, okay, none of us are perfect. We have, each of us has our particular faults, our particular weaknesses. We fail in our relationships with others more often than we sometimes would like to admit. And it's especially easy for us to expect more from others than we expect from ourselves. I think this is especially true in our family relationships at home. We live together day after day, week after week, year after year. And over a period of time, we get to know each other pretty well. We see each other at our very best, and at other times we see each other at our very worst, as parents, as husbands and wives, as children, and so forth. As parents, we often expect more from our children than we do of ourselves. Likewise, children often expect more from their parents than they expect from other adults. Husbands and wives sometimes develop unrealistic expectations of one another. And this often results in impatience, intolerance in our family relationships, instead of bearing with one another in love, as God's word exhorts us to do. Same is also true in our relationships within the family of Christ, the church. The more we get to know one another, the more we learn of individual weaknesses and faults. We become more aware of habits and idiosyncrasies in others that irritate us. And perhaps this is the practical reason, one of the practical reasons for Paul's challenge and his exhortation here to bear with one another in love. So what can we do when we do become irritated and impatient with one another at home, in our church relationships, at work, you know, whatever the arena might be? What can we do when we sometimes expect more of others than we expect of ourselves? I think the bottom line is we can think upon our Lord Jesus Christ. We can think about Him. We can consider His attitude towards us when we hurt Him, when we sin against Him. We can think about His patience, His infinite patience and kindness, and dealing with us even when we fail Him miserably at times. We can think when we read or sing Psalm 130, and I didn't think about including this in our worship this morning. I wish I had. But we sing there in that psalm, if God would mark iniquity, who could stand? Who could stand before him? If God would keep a detailed record of our sins, our offenses against him, who could stand before him? The clear answer is no one. Not a one of us in and of ourselves. Not one of us could stand in his holy presence and be accepted and forgiven by him. But Jesus is so patient and so forgiving in his dealing with our sins. And in fact, he's taken those upon himself. And it's in him that we're able to come to our loving God, our God who is infinite in his love and his forgiveness of us. Jesus is so very, very patient. The Apostle Paul, writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, referred to himself as chief among sinners and the least of the apostles. I find that astounding, that Paul would say that to his son in the faith, that he would write that, not only to his son in the faith, but then all those down through the centuries who have read those words, as we're able to do now. Say, the Apostle Paul, this greatest missionary of all times in the eyes of many, would say, that would write to Timothy, I am the chief among sinners. I'm the least of the apostles. And yet, having experienced the great love and patience of God in saving him, such as he was able to say that, to confess that, and he was enabled, I think, to be more tolerant and more patient in his dealings with others. He was able to respond to others with the same love and patience with which Christ had responded to him. This fruit of the Spirit, patience, is an essential quality in each one of our lives and in every relationship of life. Demonstrating the love and the patience of Christ will make all the difference in the world in having right relationships with one another, whether at home, whether at church, whether at work, whether at school, whatever those relationships might be. We need to pray then for ourselves, need to pray for one another for a greater measure of this fruit of the Spirit. I don't think a day goes by for me when I don't ask God to forgive my impatience and to please, Lord, by your Spirit, give me a greater measure of your love and your patience in my relationships at home and at church and everywhere you take me. We need to learn how in practical ways to bear with one another in love. Another essential ingredient in bearing with one another, as we've already implied, is, of course, a forgiving spirit. Look again at Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, it's really a tragic thing that there are those, including some Christians, who can go through their entire lives harboring grudges against somebody who has, in some way or another, offended them. It's so tragic because it's so out of character for a follower of Jesus Christ. An unforgiving spirit is a mark of the old sinful nature. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. It's the exact opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. It's so totally out of character for a Christian. No place whatsoever in our Christian wardrobe. This is the reason why Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, urges us to put off this sinful attitude along with others, just like we could take off and throw away an old, worn-out piece of clothing. And we can't do that, of course, in our own strength. It's only by the work of the Spirit, as we pray for ourselves and we pray for one another, it's the only way that we can be free of the opposite of patience and forgiveness, an unforgiving spirit. Think again about how much Jesus Christ has loved us and forgiven us. That favorite verse of mine, Romans 5:8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How can I possibly hold a judge and harbor an unforgiving spirit against a fellow believer for whom Christ died when he has canceled out, when he's forgiven my far, far greater debt of sin against him? I really encourage us, all of us, to make this our focus individually and as a church family in the coming days and weeks, even months. Make this our focus, preparing our hearts for whatever God has in store for us, whoever he has in store for us as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even if the offense by a fellow Christian is very real, I have no right to harbor an unforgiving spirit. Remember, Jesus had a lot to say about that in the gospel accounts. In Matthew 18, remember Peter asked his famous question, Lord, how much shall I forgive my brother? You know, shall I forgive him seven times And Jesus said, no, 7 times 7. You know, forgive him again and again and again, just as I, your Savior, have forgiven you. And Jesus tells them then that familiar parable to reinforce and to illustrate his point. Positively stated, Jesus is saying, you must forgive your brother or sister from your heart. There is no other way. This is an echo of the petition that we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So forgiveness is an essential ingredient in bearing with one another in love. And it goes without saying that forgiveness of one another is absolutely essential in preparation for whatever God has in store for us, in building us up in the faith and building us up as a congregation of his people. Still another essential ingredient. Bearing with one another in love also requires work. Okay? It requires some hard work, some deliberate action on our part. That's why Paul urges in another text, in Ephesians 4, there, verse 3, to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, this ability to be patient with the faults and weaknesses of others doesn't just automatically happen when we come to Christ, when we become Christians. The old sinful nature is still there, as we well know, urging us to respond to one another with impatience and an unforgiving spirit. Therefore, we need the fruit of the Spirit, patience in greater measure, as I said before. We need to deliberately cultivate and practice patience and forgiveness in our relationships with one another. If we really care about one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, we will make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is genuine Christianity in action. This is the kind of practical Christianity that will attract others into our fellowship. And I firmly believe that as we grow in our desire and ability to become more patient and more loving and more forgiving in our relationships with one another, many will be attracted into the fellowship of this congregation of his people. I firmly believe that a loving, forgiving fellowship will result in a powerful and effective witness to our families, to our unsaved friends, to our neighbors, and it goes on and on from there, to the uttermost ends of the earth. In closing, just by way of review, I'd like us to consider a few practical steps to help us in becoming more effective in bearing with one another in love. First step, as always, involves some self-evaluation. We need to take a good, long, hard look at ourselves. And as we do this, perhaps would be helpful to make a list of things. Think about those things in your life, in my life, that we know are irritating. We know it. Some of the things we do, some of our actions and our words and all are irritating to family members and to friends and to fellow Christians. Here's some personal questions that might help us in this process of taking a hard look at ourselves. What are some things that I do or do not do at home, at church, at work, wherever, that I know irritate others? What are some things that I do or that I don't do at work, school, in my neighborhood that irritate others? What are some things that I do or don't do that irritate my friends? And the next step, of course, then involves taking a closer look at those weaknesses in my life. How do they affect my attitudes and my actions in relation to others? Am I expecting more of others than I expect of myself? Do I make a practice of criticizing and talking about others because I see their weaknesses in myself? We need to take an honest look at ourselves as a beginning place in making us more patient with the faults and the weaknesses of others. And we might find it helpful to write down the name or names of somebody with whom you've had a great deal of difficulty being patient or being forgiving. Think about anybody against whom you might be holding a grudge and you've been unable to forgive. Then ask, why am I still angry with that person? Why do I find it so difficult to forgive him or her? Why do I continue to harbor these feelings of resentment and an unforgiving, unloving spirit in my heart? And then finally comes the most important and difficult step of all, because this final step involves action on my part. Jesus says, I must consciously and deliberately act to forgive anyone who has ever done anything to hurt me. Jesus makes that clear in the scripture that I referred to earlier, Matthew 18, that this process of forgiveness involves my taking the initiative. I must go. I must go and tell the other person how I feel. I must ask for forgiveness or offer forgiveness, whichever is required, even if the fault in my mind is primarily that of the other person. I must take the initiative. And we must never, never make our forgiveness conditional, saying or even thinking, well, I'll forgive you if you admit your fault and if you'll apologize to me. That's not unconditional forgiveness. We're instead to forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And how is that? Unconditionally. Unconditionally, with no conditions attached. God says, take care of your own unforgiving attitude first, and then I will take care of the attitude of another person. Is that easy? No. Very, very hard. But is it essential for my own personal spiritual growth and the spiritual health and growth of my family at home, of my church family, of whatever relationships we're talking about? Yes. Absolutely, absolutely essential. So I want to encourage us, the days ahead, think on these important scripture passages as we, again, continue in the process of looking toward God providing us as a congregation with a pastor who will feed us with a knowledge and understanding of His Word, a pastor who will, along with our elders, provide spiritual oversight, provide encouragement, provide the leadership that we need in order to move forward as a congregation of His people. Let's think on these passages of Scripture and others that are related. And I want to encourage you to meditate on these powerful, powerful exhortations from God and then put them into practice in your relationship with others. Let me read again Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And the love that Paul is writing there about to the Colossians and to us is, again, that agape love. That love that God alone knows and that is true of God alone, but which He has also communicated to us through the gift of His Son, that infinite and unconditional love. So I would encourage you again with these words, and then the word also that's on our bulletin this morning, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing and you have been doing. Amen. May God do so in our midst. Let's bow together in prayer. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, indeed, as we think upon You and upon Your infinite, unconditional love and forgiveness towards us, and then we think upon ourselves and our relationship not only to You, but with one another as well, at home, in the church, at work, at school, wherever it may be, we just confess to You we fall so far, far short, Father, of Your standard. We do not, as we know we should and as we want to, bear one another up in love. We do not build up one another and encourage one another as we should, especially when things get difficult. So we ask Your forgiveness first of all. We ask then that You would give us that fruit of the Spirit, that patience, which would enable us then to forgive one another, even as You, for Christ's sake, have loved and forgiven us. Father, make it so. Make us doers of Your word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Ask Your special blessing in these days ahead, days and weeks, and perhaps even months ahead through the summer months, that You will do what You want to do, and that You will accomplish what You want to accomplish in our lives, in our relationship with You and with one another, and that You will provide for us as a congregation of Your people the one whom You have chosen to be our pastor, our teaching elder, the one who will labor together with our elders in providing food from your word and providing spiritual oversight. We bring these requests now. We thank you in advance for your answers. We know that we are asking these, making these requests in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are trusting in your promises. We are believing this word that we have considered together this morning. In Jesus' powerful and precious name we pray. Amen.